Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You can be seated. Father, tonight give us wisdom from heaven. I pray, God, the power of God might fall upon our lips, especially, Lord, upon our hearts, that our lips might speak after the leading of the Spirit of God tonight. Touch our hearts, Lord, fill our souls, open our understanding. And Lord, tonight we know we'll not be able to comprehend the Word of God unless You open our understanding. And the Holy Spirit tonight, Father, must open our understanding for us to see the things of God. Now, Lord, we don't have any prophets in this day, but we do have the Spirit of God. And Lord, You do reveal things through the Spirit of God. And tonight, Lord, we're not looking for future things to be revealed that's never been told to man. But Lord, we are looking for You to reveal the truths in the Word of God that we do not know anything about. Lord, that they might be laid upon our heart, that we might go forth to stand and declare the Word of God. And Lord, live in the precepts of the Word. We'll give You the praise for what You're going to do. In Jesus' holy, righteous name tonight we pray. Amen. Now we'll go back tonight and talk about the thought that we was talking about this morning, a godless society. I'll try to pick back up where I was. And starting this message tonight, we do know that there's some things that are taking place today, and there's some things that's going on, and brother, troubles my heart. I believe this morning we said something like the Word of God is being squandered, twisted, warped, and taken away. And that's been the thing tonight, you know, that's caused people to live and believe what they're believing. The reason they're deviated from the truth is because they have ignored the Word of God. Now you get the place tonight that you will convince yourself that the Word of God is not real, that it's not the blessed book. Brother, I'll tell you what will happen. When you get the place that you convince yourself or allow the devil to deceive you to think that the Word of God is not the inspired, inerrant Word of God, when you get the place that you think it is not real, that it's not true, and it's just a bunch of words, and it's not the entire Word of God from heaven, when you get to that place tonight, then it's going to be easy for you to go back in a backward step and then say that Jesus does not sit at the right hand of the Father. It's going to be easy then for you to say tonight that Jesus did not rise from the dead. It's going to be easy then for you to say that He did not die on the cross of Calvary and He did not give Himself and that God did not send His Son and that He did not become sin for our souls tonight. It'll be easy for you to convince yourself. Then when you convince yourself that Jesus did not come, that He did not die on the cross of Calvary, and that He is not a Savior, and that He was a good historian, but He was not the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, then you can point your fingers up into heaven and say, there is no God. And you can do it then. But brother, I'll tell you tonight, you cannot convince yourself logically tonight that the Word of God is not real. But that's what's happened in this modern day. People have come to a place that they have said it's not the Word of God. It's not real anymore. So what they've done is they've denied God. In this book of Romans, you'll find that's what's happened. Three times, God has walked up and told them that He gave them over and gave them up. Amen. Three times in this book of Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 24 down through verse number 32, three times God said this, that He gave them up. Twice He said, God also gave them up. In verse number 24, God gave them up in verse 26, and God gave them over in verse number 28. So what's happened? God has stepped back. What's happened? Man's got so wicked. I preached on this not too long ago. God knows that man's got so wicked. He's walked away from God so much that God said, I'm going to do something about it. What did God do? He stepped back and said, you just go ahead now and do what you want to do. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, and I'll let you do those things that you want to do, and live it up and have yourself a time. But I want to remind you one thing. Judgment will come at the end of the trail. Now that's what God has said tonight by looking at this. Now we see this man's put in his mind that there's no God. So what's he do? He's looking for some hope. Now he's come to this world and it's got a bunch of questions that he can't answer. Amen. The philosophers can't answer it for you. And they cannot get it done. So they got a lot of questions they can't answer, and they have a lot of problems that they cannot solve. You can't solve your problems. It's going to take God to solve your problems. So what do? They turn around to watching the television, get everything they can from the television. They'll soothe their minds with the television. They'll pull up pornography on the computers and look at the pornography. They'll look at movies. You know when people are watching movies and pornography and they're looking at television, you know what they're doing? They're looking for something to entertain them. Brother, I'll tell you what you need to do is get the place in life where the Word of God entertains you. Amen. Where you have notice, I would to God tonight that every single one of you would go home and get sick to your stomach of a television set. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying throw it out the door. I'm just saying I pray tonight you go home and every time you turn it on, the Holy Ghost says, you ought to be in your Bible. You ought to be in your Bible. You ought to be in your Bible. And you'd be so miserable to turn the button and turn it on. You'll say, preacher, yes, sir. Amen. And I pray every time you see the television, you see a Bible. Every time you see the television, you see a Bible. You change your channel and a Bible pops up. And I pray that you get to loving the Bible that you don't even care where you ever watch a television set. There used to be a time when people didn't do it. You said, preacher, I don't understand you. Amen. I don't understand me either sometimes. All right? So we find as we look at these things, they'll look at those. They'll sit down 2, 3, 4 hours and watch a movie and not even budge and dare anybody to say anything. But they can't sit 3 hours and listen to a man of God preach. Amen. Don't want to. You know why? It don't entertain the flesh. Amen. And their soul is not hungry for the Word of God. Now we're talking about a godless age, an age of godlessness. Amen. Now I'm going to try to preach the message tonight that I tried to start on this morning. Amen. So when they get looking at it, they can't find it, the movies don't do it, they turn to sports and they try to get it. You know what you're doing when you're involved in all the sports of the world? You're trying to entertain yourself. You're trying to find something that will satisfy you. Amen, that's exactly something to entertain you. So I said, you against all that? I don't have time for it myself. Amen. You said, it's just because you don't like it. No, it's not. It's because I got something else I like better. Preacher, you ought to get off of them things. I'm telling you, we're living in a godless society. And then Christianity, so-called religious Christianity, not real Christianity, but religious Christianity is helping it out. The religious Christianity. Now I'm not talking about Christianity itself. Christianity is what? Christ. Amen. That's what it is. That is Christ in you is Christianity. Amen. All right, now let's go a little further. And then you can't find no help. After you find all those things, you can't find it. They're looking for peace of mind. They're looking for satisfaction of heart. They're looking for the satisfaction of their soul. That's why people look at all these things. You'll never find any peace. The Bible said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Brother, you'll never find peace till you find God. And when you find God, He will give you peace. Amen. So then what they do, they turn around and they start consulting the wizards when all that don't satisfy. Some of you ain't got that part because what I've already talked about has satisfied you. Amen. But there's some people done gone through all the things that I've mentioned and now they're still not satisfied, so they're looking somewhere else. So they find them a wizard. They'll get into Wicca. They'll get into spiritists. They'll find those things. They'll get into fortune telling. They'll try to find mama out there with sister so-and-so's palm sticking up and find them a palm reader. They'll go to the tarot cards. They'll look at the tea leaves. That's what's happening in America. Brother, I ain't lying to you. They'll get all that. They'll get them a Ouija board and try to play with a Ouija board. I tell you tonight, those things are ungodly, unholy, and they're not even healthy for an unbeliever, much less a child of God. Amen. Then they'll look at the stars and astrology. And they'll see all of that. They'll find the mediums. And they'll get their beads. Brother, they'll start praying with their beads. And their rituals. And their forms and their fashions. And they'll go to Mass and get in the Mass. Amen. They're looking for... Let me tell you tonight, brother, this country is in an ungodly state. Now what happens when they get into all that? Here's what happens. We're reading some sins here, and I'm going to start them in just a minute. In chapter 1 of the book of Romans, And what happens to them now is this. They get to the place, after they've gone to all this, they have taken the Word of God, they throw it to the side, they do not allow it to have any part in their life. They start living their life without Christ. They start living their life without the Word of God having any kind of form on them. They are not answering and subject to the Word of God no more. Now they can look up in heaven and say, there's no God. The Bible's not real. And they're looking for something to satisfy and still can't find it. And then when that's all said and done, what happens is their hearts become hardened. The more you can reject God, the more you can deny God, the more that you can refuse God, your heart will become hardened. And it'll be easier for you to say no to God the next time. That's why it's important that when God speaks to your soul as a lost individual with the Holy Spirit of God, you need to do something about it right then. The longer you wait, 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years, 8, 10 years, 15 or 20 years, and brother, your heart will become so hard, it'll be like Pharaoh, it'll never be broken. And brother, it'll get to the time that God said, all right, that's enough, I won't speak to you again. You've refused me enough, you refused me too much, and I am not going to speak to you again. That's why it's hard to get older people saved. Okay, now let's look at some things. Now you see how it's traveled. Let's look at something. I want to give you three things here that's happened. Not only have we forsaken the Word of God and then got to the place that we can say there's no God and deny the Son of God Himself, but the next thing is happening. We are living in a day that there's no guilt and seems to be no conviction. You can go to the average church in this day and time and there's no such thing as conviction. There's not enough of the Holy Ghost of God in the church to convict a sinner of his sin. Now, I believe this from the Word of God, and it's not because it's something that's been taught me except by the Holy Spirit of God out of the Word of God. I do not believe that any individual tonight can be saved outside first of being convicted of the Holy Ghost of God. It's not something that we believe from the head. It's something we believe from the heart. But every child of God has been saved, has been brought to Christ through the medium of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit conviction must be prevalent in every soul tonight before they ever get saved. So what's happening in our churches, we're majoring on trying to get the things going, the plans, the programs. We're trying to get things that's going to entertain the people. And when we try to entertain the people, what we've done is we push the Holy Spirit out the door. Not only have we pushed the Word of God out, we pushed the Spirit of God out in our churches across America. And now all we are just religious assemblies. And it's not a time and a place that we can find Christ. And we bring the lost. And we hope that they're going to get saved. And they're not going to get saved without the Spirit of God being there. That's why I tell you, you need to be very careful about how you act when you come to the house of God. The Spirit of God's feelings are easy hurt. Amen. Brother, you don't have to say, you can just to have a bad remark. And brother, you can shun the Spirit of God and cause the Lord not to work in the midst of the people. You can have sin in your heart and life. You can have animosity towards somebody in the house of God. And I'll guarantee you tonight, you'll hinder the work of God. And I also tell you, you'll stand before God and give account of it. Brother, when you stand before Him, He will judge you for doing so. It's not an easy thing to walk over and step over the things of God. Now, we do not have no guilt and no conviction in our churches today. Almost got that word put together in a new word. Amen. But there's, start to say gout. Amen. But amen. I'm going to talk about tonight, the guilt's gone. The conviction's gone. Therefore, there's nobody saved. Now, the second thing that's missing out of all this is the repentance. It's easy for us now to repeat a prayer. To call upon the Lord with our head. It's easy for us to say something somebody else has said. And there's a lot of assemblies where preachers have got up and said, now, if you want to come to Christ and know the Lord Jesus, repeat this after me. And they'll say, Our Father. And they'll say, Our Father. And they'll say, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. And they'll say the same thing. Now, how many prayed that prayer? And they'll raise their hand. Then they say, You're saved. And they go out deceiving the individuals. I'm telling you tonight, The Holy Ghost does His work in the hearts of an individual. And brother, I'm not going to try my best to get you in. Amen. I'm going to preach to you and tell you the truth, but I want the Holy Ghost to arrest your heart. There used to be a time when men went to church, and brother, they was lost and undone. And brother, before the service is over, they was miserable to the core. Somebody said, I don't want to go to church and be miserable. If you're not right with God, I pray you get miserable. If you're right with God, you will not get miserable. Amen. The only thing I can say to you if you're miserable is that you get right with God and you'll enjoy it. If you're enduring the service tonight, you've got a spiritual problem. Amen. And it's not the church. It's not nobody else. Brother, it's a problem with you and conviction. Brother, let me tell you, if the preaching of the Word of God stirs your soul, it's conviction. And that's what God has chosen to bring men and women to Christ with. It's the Holy Ghost of God. So therefore we have no repentance, and then we have no salvation. Now I want to look at something here. Look at Romans chapter 1. I promise you I'm going to get to these sins. Amen. It's so long. My wife said, you're going to preach on that again tonight, and I don't usually tell her what I'm preaching. And I said, well, I'm going to... She said, you're going to finish that up tonight? And I said, no. So she thought I was preaching something else. I just know tonight I'm not going to finish it. I ain't got too far started yet. So I know I'm not going to finish it. So we'll look in verse number 29. First of all, I want to go back and look at what God said in verse 28. And I got some more preliminaries to get to where we need to go. And we're not going to finish tonight, but I pray that you have enough Scripture on you to study all week long. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the Bible said God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What does it mean tonight, saints of God, for God to turn you over to a reprobate mind? What does it mean tonight to be a reprobate? Have you ever done a word study on the word reprobate? Let me just give you a few little things to study on. Let's look at this. First of all, the Bible said in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Being filled. These people were filled with something. Now, who are these? They are reprobates. Let's look at this word reprobate. If you look it up in a 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and all you fellas here, you ought to get you a Webster's Dictionary, 1828. If you don't have one, get one. Amen. I'm fortunate to have one. Got it on the computer. Got it on my phone. Amen. I'm looking at it. It goes with me everywhere I go. I pull out Mr. Webster all the time and say, tell me what you mean. And he tells me. The word reprobate means not enduring. Proof or trial. The word reprobate means to reject or to be rejected. And brother, in the terms like you can understand it, it means to reject and be rejected. You reject God and He rejects you. You refuse God and God refuses you. You turn God off and God will turn you off. Amen. You keep on going and going and going without God. And God says, that's enough. He said, I'm giving you enough space to repent. But if you don't repent, hey, I'll turn you over to a reprobate. And when you become a reprobate, this is what it says. He tells us, he said, it means to be abandoned in sin. It didn't say taken out of sin. He says, and that's what Webster says, to abandon you in sin. God said, you won't sin, I'll give you sin. You want to walk against me, I'll let you walk against me. So I'm going to abandon you and I'm going to let you live in your sin. And if you don't get out of that sin, I'll let you die in that sin and I'll judge you for that sin. God said you are a reprobate. Now, beloved, that's going a little stronger than what most preachers are going to tell you. Amen. You turn your back on God. I can give you Scripture after Scripture after Scripture in the Word of God that God will turn His back on you. God's so loving, He can't do that, preacher. You're not reading out of the same Bible I'm reading out of. Amen. God can look you in the eye one day and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Into everlasting fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And God can be just and the justifier of doing it. And you'll have to say, amen, because God is just. And God will have every right to do it. Oh, God's so loving, He won't do it. Don't play around with God. Don't gamble with the throne of God tonight. He can cast you into hell. Brother, tonight the Bible said not to fear of the man who can destroy, just the body,
But he said to fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And beloved, I'm preaching the truth. Now, in our word, does that word reprobate mean to abandon in sin? It means to be lost from grace. Where you're beyond grace. Somebody said, I don't believe beyond grace. I believe that grace, the grace of God appeared to all men. I believe as long as you've got breath, you've got an opportunity and a chance and a privilege to be saved. But when you draw your life breath, brother, when you've turned your nose up in the face of God and refused Him and draw your life's breath on this earth, the first thing you're going to do is draw your breath in hell. And brother, when you're in hell, you're after the, and beyond the realm of grace. Now, I don't believe you're beyond the realm of grace until you draw your last breath. But I'll guarantee you every individual in hell and every inhabitant tonight is in hell. They have got beyond grace and the grace of God will never reach them. The grace of God will never bring them out. I'm not one that prays in a purgatory and talks about a purgatory and a way that you're going to get escaped out of hell. Brother, you're going to be in hell forever. Preacher, that's pretty tough. Yes, it is. We need more preaching like that today. Now, not only that, it means this. Reprobate means without hope of pardon. God said you're without any hope of pardon when I turn you loose and turn you out there. Brother, you're without any hope. Brother, I want you to know man without God is without hope. And that also means exile to wickedness. God said when I turn you over to be a reprobate, you have a reprobate mind. God is saying, what I've done, I've exiled you. I put you like they did John on the Isle of Patmos. I put you over into wickedness. I've exiled you to wickedness. Have yourself a good time. Live it up. Enjoy it. You're going to pay the price down the road. Now that's what God says in verse number 28. Because the Bible teaches up above there that the women and the men, they left the natural use of each other. And men burning in their lust toward one another. They begin to be men with men. And women with women. And they left the confines of marriage and the home that God's instituted and set up. Just this week I read a piece in the paper. Somebody brought to me a little article and it said that every man has the right to live like he wants to live and every woman has the right to live what they want. And if a man wants to marry a man and raise a family, that's his business. You know what I say to that? When a man can marry a man at the altar and go home and have children with that man and they can raise their own family, and when a woman can marry a woman and them two together without the influence of a man can have a child and raise a family, I'll change my mind. But it cannot be done, it has not been done, and it will not be done. Amen. So that satisfies me. Whether it does you or not. So I'll tell you, it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man. It's an abomination for a woman to lay with a woman. And to marry him. Yes, I'm against all that. Now I know tonight if they come to this church and lined us up with a bunch of machine guns and said all that stands with a preacher tonight on that subject, I imagine the crowd would be a lot thinner than it is now. I'm sure some of you that say an amen, preacher, preach on, you're telling the truth. I'm sure you'd chew your toenails and your fingernails off if that came to reality and you had to stand before a firing squad and stand with me on this. I guarantee you, brother, it'll separate the men from the boys. So some of y'all are just sitting there and looking at me and you don't really believe what I just preached. See there? Not many amens on that. I just proved the point. Amen. Brother, when they get to the place that one of these days, when they take the preacher to the jailhouse because he preaches against homosexuality, and when that happens, I'm wondering how many of the congregation, some of them will go home with their tail tucked between their legs and say, well, you know what, I believe like the preacher, but he ought not have got up and preached it like he said it. He's too stout and too strong. What do you want me to do? Squirt a little rose water and say, all right, I'm against it, but I'm not going to say nothing about it. What am I supposed to do? Preach the Word of God. And when I preach it, you believe it, I expect you to stand with me. Amen. I may chop my head off, just shout it out. Praise God. Turn around and go find you another preacher. That ought to be, amen, if they kill me and shoot me and haul me off to prison for preaching against homosexuality, the first thing you ought to do, find the preachers, go find another. The first question you ought to ask him, what do you believe about homosexuality? And he says, well, I play a low profile. Run him off. Don't even preach him. Get you one to take the same stand. Why, we'll get in trouble again. Amen. Well, we'll get the preachers off into glory a lot quicker. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. You said, preacher, you believe that? Yes, I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't have said it. Amen. Fellas told me one time, a preacher said, if you believe it, if you believe it, say it. If you don't believe it, don't say it. But if you say it, be man enough to stand up for what you said. Amen. I appreciate believing it. Well, this may be the one that gets me in trouble. I didn't know I was going to get hung up on this. But what happened now? The Lord seen all that, and He says, now I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. Now you can go do what you want to. That's what that word reprobate means. Brother, you look it up. Let me just give you a little bit more since I've got on it. I done got into it. Let's just clear up a little bit more. I don't want to just let you take my words for what reprobate means. The word reprobates mentioned four times in the New Testament, and the word reprobates is mentioned three times. Actually, the word reprobates mentioned three times in the New Testament and one time in the Old Testament. Let's go and find these scriptures. Let's look at them. I would tell you, and I want to give you, I give you tonight what Webster said about a reprobate. Now let me give you what the Bible says about a reprobate. Wouldn't that be better? Amen. Now I hope you remember what Webster says. And when we get through, I think you're going to see that Webster was a little mild. Amen. Now let's take our Bible and go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. See, I told you we wouldn't get through. I ain't even going to get down there, looks like. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And when you're in chapter 6 of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 30. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 30. I'm going to give you time to turn. I want you to make sure that you're at the place that I'm preaching from. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 30. The Bible said, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Now, let me give you, the Bible right here tells us what that reprobate means. They're reprobate because of what? Because he what? Rejected it. So a reprobate is a God reject. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible did. Amen. Now, go with me back verse number 29. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain. For the wicked are not plucked away. Then he said, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Now, let me give you a few thoughts. Silver is very important. I'd like to have a lot of it, wouldn't you? Amen. But what about reprobate silver? What does silver stand for in the Word of God? Amen. Somebody remembered when we was teaching the tabernacle. Redemption is what silver stands for. When you find silver in the Word of God, it stands for redemption. Do you remember back in the Old Testament time that they had the redemption money? They would bring silver. And that was the redemption money. That's the price that they paid. But the Bible teaches us that Brother Christ paid the price for us. He become our redemption. And we know tonight that this is speaking of redemption of silver. But what he's saying tonight, the reprobate silver. What's reprobate? Silver that is not accepted. Silver that is rejected. Silver that is refused. Silver that is no good. Now, a good indication of thought of that, and I want to spend a long time on it. I could. Brother, we ought to just maybe take a study of this. But I want to give you just a little knowledge, a little bit about the Word of God here. When we get to the thing, what did Judas do when he went to betray the Lord? He sold him for what? 30 pieces of silver. Now, he put the silver in his pocket. He went down the road. He said, now, when I come down to the garden, the man I go up and I kiss, that is the one that you're to take. Did he not? He went up there, saw the Lord. And he went down and he kissed the Savior. And they took him and bound him up. Bound the Savior who had sinned not at all. He was innocent. And there he was. And brother, he was free of sin. No fault in Him at all. But they took Him, went out there to crucify Him. What happened to Judas Iscariot? He recognized that he was wrong. He recognized it and saw that he had done wrong. Instead of repenting and calling upon God, what did he do? He went back with that silver and he throwed it down in front of those priests and those people he got it from. And he said, "Here, I don't want this. Why? It's reprobate silver. It's no good to him no more." Brother, God said, "Your reprobate is somebody that is no good to me. If you're going to live in wickedness and ungodliness and unholiness, if you're going to live a life of sin and you're going to bring destruction upon the flesh and you're going to take my name down, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to reject you." You understand that? Does that make it any plainer? Now let's turn tonight in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That's our text in verse 28. I want to tell you, we talked about reprobate silver in Jeremiah chapter 6. Here's our text, verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate" what? Mind. Now we saw a reprobate silver in Jeremiah. Now we find a reprobate mind. A mind is a terrible thing, people say, to waste. Is it not? I'm amazed at the mind of God, of mind of man. God made us a mind. Mind gets out of kilter sometimes. I have a lot of those senile spots in my life. I get a lot of those senior moments when I can't remember where I'm going, when I can't find where I'm going. Amen. I get a few of those senior moments. Amen. My daughter wanted me to come and pick her up at, what is the name of that school? I can't even remember. Woodville. You know where Wood? How many knows where Woodville School is? I thought I did. I went to get her. I passed it up. She said, "Waiting on me." And she called me on the phone. She said, "Daddy, where you at?" I said, "I'm at the Church of God in Turnerville." I said, "Ain't it right above She said, "No, you've gone too far." She said, "I thought that's you. I've lived in this area a long time. I've been to that school many, many times. And I had to turn around and come back. That just happened the other day." Now people don't even want to send me nowhere. They don't know where I'm going to get there or not. But I'm telling you, I have a few of those moments. The mind is a wonderful thing, brother, when it's put together. God gives us a mind that we can retain and think about. So here's what happens. God said, "Your mind is on evil continually. Your mind is on ungodly things. Your mind is on unholy things. All you got on your mind is perversion of all kinds. You've forgotten God." He's even told over here that they're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And they have turned God loose in their mind. And they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Is that not their mind? God said, "All right, because of that, I'll give your mind, make it a reprobate. You've got a reprobate mind. Now you've got a mind. It's no good for God. You've got a mind now. Just go ahead and help yourself." Does that make you understand what a reprobate is a little bit more? I mean, here we are living in a society. People don't know what a reprobate is. All right. Now let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise God, we'll find an unhitching place. You'd read these scriptures when you get home. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's turn to verse number 8. The Bible said, you ready? "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds." You remember what we talked about? Reprobate minds. Then he said, "reprobate concerning the faith." They have a reprobate faith. Their faith is no good. Not in Christ. Now what were they doing? He said, "As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." Who were they? They were those who come up against Moses when he went down to Pharaoh. Here they are. They're standing there before Pharaoh, and he's what's he doing? He's turning water into blood. And Jannes and Jambres turns water into blood. They resist the truth. He throws down a rod. When he throws down a rod, that rod becomes a serpent. Jannes and Jambres and that other crowd, those magicians, they came out there, throwed their rods down, and they became serpents. And God's rod through Moses licked up and eat up the other serpents. He picked it up by the tail and it became a rod again. They were those who fought the truth, resisted the truth. A reprobate is somebody that will fight what we stand for. They'll fight the Word of God. God said, I'll turn you over. You'll have a reprobate mind, and you'll have a reprobate faith, and you'll be against the saints of God. That's what a reprobate does. You try to tell him about Jesus, you know what he does? He makes fun of you. He laughs at you. That's why you don't find me on the street corner on the other side of the road preaching to the homosexuals out there. One comes here, I'll preach to them just like I preach to you. I'll try to preach to them with the same power, with the same authority, with the same Word. I won't try to pick at them. Hear me now. Brother, you get down on the street corner, says you're a bunch of perverts, you're going to die and go to hell. You know what you're doing? You're throwing your pearls before swine. They'll turn around, they'll rend you. Brother, I believe you ought to witness to them, tell them about Christ. But listen, they've got a reprobate faith. They've got a reprobate mind. Brother, they've got a reprobate silver to them. I want you to know redemption is away from them. They don't want redemption. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you another. Start to say so much, some more, but we'll stop right there. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16. When you get home, you've got all the words of reprobate mentioned in the Bible. The Bible said in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. What? Reprobate. Now they have some reprobate works. What's he say? He said they profess to know God. Some of them do. We got homosexuals who stand in the pulpit and preach and call themselves the men of God. God has never laid His hands on them. I don't care if you've got an uncle is a pervert. Amen. I don't care who it is. Hear me now. Brother, God don't call them into the ministry. They're reprobates. Listen, God, he said they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. They say one thing and do another. They're like Pharisees. They claim that they know God, but they wouldn't know God if they met Him in the street. He said, and they're being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Now you just study on that. I don't have time to spend any much more time on it because I got some other things I want to cover and time's about got me. Now the other three instances, turn back to 2 Corinthians. This word reprobates with an S on it, plural. It's mentioned in the 13th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, let me get over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves. Now, who's that mean? Who are you supposed to do that to? Yourselves. Amen. Examine yourself. Look yourself over. Amen. Put the magnifying glass on yourself. Search your hearts, what he's saying. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Amen. You better examine yourself. You ought to take a constant examination of yourself. Amen. Look yourself over. When you look yourself in the mirror, ask yourself the question, are you in the faith or not? Ask yourself, what's wrong? Ask yourself, Dennis Dills, are you saved? And I say, yes. Amen. And if I'm not, let me lie to him all the time. Amen. And I'll stand before God and give account. But at least I've examined myself. Dennis Dills, are you saved? Yes, sir, by the grace of God. And if I'm lying, I'm just saying amen to my own condemnation when I stand before God. Now, he said, prove yourselves. Not only examine yourself, but prove yourself. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. He's in you, except you be what? Reprobates. That lets me know tonight that you cannot be saved and be a reprobate at the same time. Glory to God. I know I'm saved, washed in the blood, born again, headed to heaven. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I cannot, I am not, and I will not be a reprobate. Glory to God. Now, verse number 6. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Alright, verse 7 said, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear reproved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Now, three things here. First of all, we're examining ourselves to see if we are reprobates. And when we can answer the question tonight that we know that we are not reprobates because Jesus Christ lives in us, number two, then we're to live such a life, amen, that those people we work with and go in front of in verse number six every day of our life, they will also know that we're not reprobates. We're to live a life that they'll know that we're not reprobates. And then in verse number seven, we're to live a life in front of them that will not even let them think in their mind that there's any possibility whatsoever that we're reprobate in the faith. Understand that? You see those three things. Now, I want to go to something else. You said it's about time. Well, amen, I can turn around and get another 5-10 minutes off of this. But I believe you've seen enough that you can go home now and know a little bit about what a reprobate is. Don't you go up and down this country and when somebody said, do you know what a reprobate is? You said, amen, if anything, look him in the eye and say, well, my preacher preached a whole message just about it one time, but I can't remember what he said. I'd rather you say that is to say, I don't know. Amen. Don't you go out in the world and say, I ain't never heard nobody tell me. My preacher ain't never said what a reprobate is. I don't want you to go out in the country telling that. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of church members tonight. You ask what a reprobate is, and they got all different ideas. But I've tried my best to show you what the Bible says one is. Amen. You may be as clouded as you was when I started. You may not know no more about it now than you did. But at least you've been under it. You can go search it out. You get your copy of this message and you can hear it again if you like. Amen. Now listen. I want us to turn back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible said, I'm going to close with this in just a minute. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, first of all, being what? What's that word? Filled. When you're filled, that means what? I mean, full. That's what it means, ain't it? That means when you're filled, you can't put nothing else in there. Being full. Amen. You ever eat and went to eat? A lot of you have. I know good and well. Some of you have. Amen. Somebody said, gluttonous is a sin. It is. And somebody said, when you tell when you've had gluttonous? I don't know. Amen. I wish somebody would tell me that. Amen. But I always tell everybody, don't be a gluttonous. Stop one bite this side of gluttonous. And they'll say, when you find, I don't know. But stop one bite this side of it, you'll be all right. And I can tell by looking at most of us, we have not. I have come to the conclusion that most of us do not know what a gluttonous is. And when we have eaten much to be a gluttonous. I do know in the Old Testament time that they were eating, sticking their finger down the throat, eating as much as they could eat, throwing it up, and then going back to the table again. I ain't seen that happen, but I've seen some I believe wanted to. Amen. And I ain't so sure some I've seen hadn't done that. Evidence proves it. All right. He said here, being filled. Now what they're being filled with, these people who are reprobates have been turned over to reprobate mind. They're filled with something. Number one, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now that seems to be a subject. Now we're going to talk about that just a little bit. What is unrighteousness? I'm going to give you an answer to this. We're going to quit. But I want to give you something to start because I'm going to have to come back and finish this again. How many of you would like to take a study of every one of these words and know what they mean from the Word of God? How many would like to do that? Amen. Well, the rest of you, when I preach that, I'll let you stay at home. But, amen. A few of you want it. You hear me? Some of you look like I ain't so sure I want to hear it or not. But we need it. Now, go into the book of 1 John, please. In 1 John, I want to give you something about in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 17. And while you're turning to 1 John 5:17, I'm going to tell you what Mr. Webster says about the word unrighteousness. Mr. Webster says that it's a violation of the divine law. Unrighteousness is a violation or a breaking or a refusing of the divine law. In other words, the law of God. Divine means God, divinity. It's the breaking or the violation, breaking the law of the divine law, the divine law of God. He also says that it's an habitual course of wickedness. I've gone to the jail sometimes and talked to some folks, and I say, what are you in here for? And he'll say, a habitual violation. When they tell you that, when a prisoner tells you that it's a habitual violation, it means that they're in there for the same thing that they've been in there before. It means, and most of them is in there for drugs or alcohol, and it means that they get drunk, get put in jail, and they don't learn better, they go back and get drunk and get put in jail. And they don't learn better, and they go back and get drunk and get put in jail. And after a while, after so long, they put them in prison. Or at least they used to. I don't know whether they do now or not. I believe a tap on the hand sent them home. But a habitual offender is somebody that keeps offending the same law over and over. And Webster says that unrighteousness is an habitual course of wickedness. They're constantly going down the course of wickedness. Constantly. Have no desire to change. Matter of fact, they cannot change. Somebody that's in wickedness cannot change. When we realize tonight that the drunkard is a drunkard because he's lost and undone without God, and you can't get him to quit drinking until he gets God on the inside, brother, I want you to know we'll never get people saved till we find that. Amen. It's going to take a transformation of God. Now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, amen, 17. 1 John 5, 17 tells us what the Bible says unrighteousness is. And he said in verse number 17, all, how much of that? All of it. Everything, what's unrighteous? The violation of a divine law. All unrighteous, or all breaking of the divine law is what? Sin. Amen. Now he said, and there is a sin not unto death. Now what is sin? The Bible said that sin is the transgression of the law. So sin and unrighteousness are hand in hand with one another, right? All right. Now, I'm going to stop here, but I want to give you something that we looked. I sat and looked and looked and looked and looked and tried to find the words that we need to look about unrighteousness. And if we went through them, it'd take us about another hour and a half to get through them. But do this tonight. When we leave here, sometime between the course of the time that I get back on this message, and I don't know when I'll come back to it, this will be part number two of it. There's going to be part three, four, five, and six. I didn't know how many there's going to be. And I didn't know that when I started this message this morning. But I do believe what I'm preaching needs to be preached. And I believe our churches need to hear this. Now listen to me. Go home and find out where the first time righteous is mentioned in your Bible. Find out where the first time in your Bible the word righteousness is mentioned in your Bible. Amen. And go in your Bible and find out the first time that unrighteous is mentioned in your Bible. And find out where the first time in your Bible the word unrighteousness is mentioned in your Bible. Amen. That's your assignment. And then we'll come back and look at these notes that I've got. And we'll look at some things in the Word of God. We'll not be able, if we spend our rest of our day or rest of time spending on every word in there, righteous and unrighteous, righteousness and unrighteousness, I'll guarantee you we'll be here a long time. That's mentioned a lot of times. But that's the only way we're going to know what unrighteousness is. Now, if you want to know what unrighteousness is, and then we'll take a study on the next word. How about that? Amen. I want you to know what these words mean. God didn't put them in there to take up space. They're there for a purpose. We need to know what unrighteousness is. And we'll deal with that in another message. God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand, and we'll ask for them to come for an invitation of some sort. I pray tonight as we listen to the music, God speaks. I pray that you'll listen to the Lord. Amen. It's just so much in the Word of God. The more I open up the book, the bigger it gets. Amen. It's heaven contained between two pieces of leather or one piece folded. Amen. It's heaven. Amen. On earth. And brother, I'll tell you, it looks like a small book from looking from the outside, but what a humongous book it is on the inside. Amen. How about it? You need to come to the altar? Come on. How about it?